Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. I don't have Cody Westerlund with me tonight, but I just recorded a crossover episode with Locked On Heat host Wesley Goldberg about 45 minutes after the news broke that Dwayne Wade was leaving Miami and signing with the Bulls. And so he and I recorded an episode. It runs about 30 minutes. We talked about the kind of what it means that Wade is leaving Miami after being synonymous with the franchise there, as well as, you know, how he's going to fit with the Bulls and what this kind of means for them going forward. So I hope you enjoy it. As always, follow me on Twitter at Hyken, and follow Cody on Twitter at Cody Westerlund. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us a 5-star review. Email us with questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Send us Twitter questions at Locked On Bulls on Twitter. Follow Wesley on Twitter at WC Goldberg, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, and welcome to a Locked On Podcast Network podcast?
Crossover
podcast between the Locked On Heat pod and the Locked On Bulls pod. I'm Wes Goldberg, host of the Locked On Heat. I'm here with Sean Hyken, host of Locked On Bulls.
Co-host
of Locked On Bulls, sorry. And some stuff just went down.
Yeah. I mean, Jose Calderon just got traded to the Lakers. That's shake up the Western Conference.
That's right. Now they have a solid backup point guard. Mike Dunleavy is going to go play with LeBron James in Cleveland, right?
And so that's my favorite level of this whole thing is that GM LeBron facilitated the Bulls dumping the salary they needed to do this so that Wade could stick it to Pat Riley.
I can't stand it.
I really cannot. That is peak. Like,
it's unbelievable. And then a domino effect from those two major moves was a little thing about Dwayne Wade leaving the Miami Heat, the team he played all 13 years of his career with, to join the Chicago Bulls, which are, I guess, technically his hometown team.
He is from Chicago.
Yeah, he's still from Chicago.
His kids still live there.
Yeah, so another reason I kind of hesitated is because it pains me to say that that's his hometown because, you know, it is Wade County in South
Florida.
Well,
it's just shocking that, like, I mean, because Wade is one of those guys that, like, when you think, you know, he's one of those guys where, like, you think about one, for, you know, the guys who, like, have just played one, their entire careers with one franchise, and it seems like Tim Duncan is leaning towards retirement, but the four guys were Tim Duncan with San Antonio, Kobe with the Lakers, Dirk with Dallas,
right.
and then Dwayne Wade with the Heat. I just thought, even over the last couple of weeks, as this stuff has kind of been playing out, you're hearing these reports that he's unhappy with the offer they're giving him. And I was just thinking, okay, this same exact thing happened last year. And then on like the second day of free agency, they got a deal done. I always just kind of thought they were going to get a deal done. And then especially when it, you know, became like, you know, the Denver Nuggets were the team that were going to be trying to get him. Like, I would have understood, like, Chicago, obviously, he's from there. Even Milwaukee, he played at Marquette, so I would have understood that. But, like, the idea that Dwayne Wade would sign with the Denver Nuggets was just, that just made the whole thing so absurd to me that
felt like he was posturing, right?
It totally felt like posturing, and especially because the Bulls didn't have the cap space after the deal that they did with Rajon Rondo. They had about $10 million left in cap space. Obviously, now that's changed because it seems like they were able to get takers for Jose Calderon and Mike Dunleavy to get the necessary cap space to do this. So now that's obviously not an issue anymore. But I just always thought that Wade and the Heat were going to end up getting a deal done. They could do some kind of thing where, like, what the sticking point was supposedly he wanted the third year.
Right.
So, you know, you do either a partial guarantee on the third year or like some kind of vesting option where if he plays a certain number of minutes, then that third year becomes guaranteed. If they could, you know, come up with some kind of compromise like this, like I was always just thinking, you know, that they could, you know, salvage this somehow, but I guess not.
it's a wild offseason. I mean, first Durant a couple days ago leaves Oklahoma City, where he played 9 years and was like the face. He was the Thunder, and he leaves and goes to the Warriors. But honestly, just as a Heat fan, let me just put my Dwayne Wade jersey on right quick and my 2012 NBA championship hat right now.
Go for it.
I'll put Heat fans' feelings up against any Thunder fan right now, honestly, because it's something like where just, you know, the pillar of your organization, the guy that brought you the only championships that the organization's ever known, and he leaves for Chicago, and this isn't like when, for example, Paul Pierce left the Celtics, and that was a mutual thing. You know, the Celtics had an opportunity, the Nets came in with this Godfather offer, and it seemed like they left on good terms. This kind of just got ugly, and that's not a good way to leave it. You know, Wade felt disrespected by the front office, and you can't really blame him, because the Heat made Hassan Whiteside the number one priority. They made a chance at signing Durant the number two priority. And I think the Durant thing, more so than the Whiteside thing, probably rubbed him the wrong way, because Whiteside was almost, it seemed like a guarantee that he was going to come back But just the small sliver of a chance to go after Durant rather than just keep Dwayne Wade in-house, that was probably the pushing over the edge.
Well, especially because Wade is the one that has taken these pay cuts for so many years. He took the bigger pay cut than LeBron and Bosch when they all signed in 2010 so that they could keep Udonis Haslem also. And then he took another pay cut in 2014 so that they could max out Bosch to keep him from going to Houston. And now he's... I totally understand him being like, okay, I've given so much back to the organization, and you guys are lowballing me on this offer. You know, when you're seeing some of these offers that guys are getting on the open market, like Marvin Williams got like $14 million a year.
Well, Dang is making $18 million a
year. And the Heat were only offering him $10 million. Like, I understand. I mean, I think part of it is he kind of saw what happened to Dirk over the last couple of years. Dirk gave back a lot of money to help Cuban build a contender, and all Cuban was ever really able to do is get Wesley Matthews to sign for way too much money coming off a torn Achilles. So I think, you know, once Durant was out of the picture, Wade is just like, you guys are lowballing me on this offer basically to max out Hassan Whiteside and do nothing else. We don't know what's going on with Chris Bosh's health. And it's just like, I totally understand why he was feeling a little bit disrespected there.
But then he goes to the Bulls, which aren't necessarily a championship contender.
No.
And it was one thing if he would have went to the Cavs, and that would have been a thing. That would have made me feel a whole lot of ways.
They just don't have anything to offer him. They could have only given him the taxpayer mid-level. So that would have really just been like, look, I'm just pissed off at the Heat, and I'm going to stick it to Pat Riley as much as possible by taking way less money to go play with LeBron in Cleveland, as opposed to, you know, with the Bulls, like, at least... Like, with the Bulls, at least, like, it was about the money. It was about, you know, he is from there, and, like, part of it was that. But he did, you know, he didn't take a discount to go to the Bulls. He took what he thought was his market value.
Yeah, and speaking of the market value, I mean, like you mentioned just before, the cap is just insane right now. Guys like Timofey Mozgov are making just ridiculous amounts of money. I mean, John Luehr is making $10 million a year, for God's sakes.
Turner got $18 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, and so for the Heat, it's kind of unclear if they offer $10 million or if they did go up or didn't go up to $20 million a year. It's unclear. But even if, like, let's say hypothetically they did offer $20 million over the next 2 years, the Heat signed Wade to $20 million for last season, last summer, and that was after Wade had a lot of health issues, like real health issues and questions. And he goes into the season, plays one of his best seasons in the last several years, plays 74 of the 82 games. Plays all the games in the playoffs, has a great playoffs, averages almost 20 points a game, and then they come back and either lowball him for 50% of that salary or give him the exact same salary. He's not getting a raise when the cap is spiked by more than $20 million for this summer. I mean, of course he wants a raise, but I do think when you look at the end of all this, it's a $7 million difference over 2 years between what the Heat maybe could have offered at $20 million. And I think we're still kind of waiting news on whether or not, like, he only got 10 or if he only got 20. But if it's only a $7 million difference, it's not about the money. And I think it's almost what the money represents and the respect and the fact that the Bulls were willing to say, oh, snap, like, you're really serious about this. Yes, we will move mountains. Mountains being Jose Ham's Calderon and Mike Dunleavy. But we'll move whatever we need to move in order to facilitate you signing here and get you a contract of deserving of who you are and the player you still are. And that clearly rang for Wade, and he's going back home to Chicago, which, you know, you think about Dwayne Wade being on vacation with LeBron James for this last week or so. You wonder if how much LeBron was in his ear, if at all. I don't know if he was, but
LeBron I'm sure it came up. I'm sure it came up in conversation.
Right? So how much?
And it's like I know the homecoming thing is a little interesting because Wade doesn't really exactly like rep Chicago a lot publicly, but his kids are here, so I understand it.
Yeah, it's interesting because he is Miami, right? He's lived in Miami for the last 13 years. That's a long time. That's enough of clearly enough time to call wherever you're living home. It's just weird that he's not finishing his career in Miami. But I guess what do you take from this? I mean, from the Bulls' perspective, what does this really mean? How does this affect them?
So purely from a basketball standpoint, I don't get this at all. Because you trade Derrick Rose, and I get that, you know, Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler weren't really able to play together, and I think the idea that they didn't get along or they didn't like each other was
Can I ask you really quick? We'll get back to this, but yes. How did it feel when Derrick Rose left? Like, what was that like for Bulls fans? Was that anything like this?
I think it would have probably been different if Rose had won championships.
Or if he was even healthy like the last
If he was healthy. I think everybody kind of knew that this was coming with all the injuries and the fact that, you know, Jimmy Butler is the guy now and they couldn't really play together. And again, what I was saying was like they got along fine. Like this, them not being able to play together was not a personal thing. The idea that like they didn't like each other was overblown, but they just weren't able to play together because they were both ball dominant guards.
Right.
Neither of them are great shooters, and you have this coach and Fred Hoiberg who wants to come in and play fast and play and have a lot of shooting. And so then you replace Rose with a 34-year-old ball dominant guard who can't shoot either, after signing Rajon Rondo, who's 30 and can't shoot and hasn't been good in about 4 years. I don't understand it at all.
Well, they probably didn't figure that Wade was actually going to be available, right? Like, it just sounded like the rest of the NBA was like,
this stuff just screamed of just like Wade was using all these teams for leverage to try to get the Heat to step up their offer. I never thought for a second. I think tonight when I didn't believe it was happening until I think it was Woj that first tweeted that Wade had actually informed the teams that he was making the decision. That was the first time I actually believed that he was going to go anywhere but Miami.
Me too. Yeah. And I mean, even then I was like, I think Woj's report said something, or his next tweet was like, if they can facilitate a trade for Calderon and Dunleavy or whatever it was to facilitate a trade to get enough cap room to offer Wade. I was like, okay, well, let's see if that even happens, because who knows? Like, maybe that doesn't happen and Wade has to return to Miami. Like, I didn't believe it until basically the reports came out that it was done. And then we had David Aldridge of TNT, Brian Windhorst of ESPN. Like, we're all tweeting the same things. And
now that Wade has started sending out messages through different media outlets. Tim Reynolds with the AP has a bunch of stuff from him right now.
Just said from the Tim Reynolds, the AP, just tweeted out, I guess the Associated Press is getting a note from Dwayne Wade or a letter. And it says, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank the Miami community and especially Heat Nation for all of their love and support. And that makes me feel good.
There you go.
I'm better now. But for the Heat now, I think it's interesting because, you know, it's been that elephant in the room about, are the Heat really better off without Wade? I mean, I don't, for a reasonable contract, if the Heat were only willing to go up to $10 million a year, certainly that's not a problem. But to give him maybe the Kobe contract, the lifetime contract kind of thing, that would have been that could have been a basketball nightmare. That could have really limited what they wanted to do. And I do get the sense that nobody wanted to come in on that third year, but especially the Heat, because that's when guys like Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson become restricted free agents. And I don't think that they wanted to mortgage the future just to retain Dwayne Wade. And just speaking now, looking towards the future, Wade's out. Goran Dragic is the point guard. There were obvious, I mean, we talked about Butler and Rose. I mean, there was a friction not because they didn't get along personally, but there was a way that they played type friction between Dragic and Wade. Wade liked to slow it down, get into the post, take his time, jab step, dribble a little bit, get into position. Dragic likes to get out and go and run and just get out into the open floor. And so now it's not a gain, because it's not, but you almost, Dragic now has the opportunity to live up to that contract and live up to the first, the two first round picks that the Heat traded to acquire him in the first place. So there is somewhat of an addition there. And now Josh Richardson presumably slides in at the two guard spot, who's been playing really well at Orlando Summer League, by the way. And he's a more versatile defender at this point in his career. He's a much better three-point shooter. I mean, he had the best three-point shooting percentage after the All-Star break last season. There will be a regression to the mean, like we saw even in the playoffs, but he's a good three-point shooter. Justice Winslow now, with Luol Deng and Joe Johnson leaving, will step in at small forward. And, of course, Hassan Whiteside's at center. We'll see what happens at power forward with Chris Bosh. But this is a young team that has some exciting parts. And now, you know, Sean, it's really hurting me to say all these things. I just want to let you know how my heart.
Of course, right? No, of course. No, get it out, man. This is just for people who don't realize we're recording this about 45 minutes after word first got out that this was actually happening. So this is therapy for you right now.
This is just there's already tissues all scattered all along the floor. There's broken plates. I don't even know.
You got the Adele going.
Adele is just blasting right now. So what was I saying? Oh, so this team does function, it's really hurting to say this, better without Dwayne Wade. I don't think they are a better team. Does that make sense? They're not a better team. Like, they would win more games with Wade, but they function better without Dwayne Wade.
Well, here's the one problem with that, though, is that they kind of burned all those first round picks on getting, I'm doing the Goran Dragic trade.
Right, which is to my point, though, is now maybe that trade starts to work out because Dragic doesn't have to share the backcourt with Dwayne Wade anymore, and it's his team now. You know, so maybe Dragic starts living up. If Dragic becomes a third-team All-NBA point guard again, it's totally worth those first-round picks.
Right, that there's just the problem is there's so many good point guards in the league. You don't know if that's going
to
happen. But
if he plays to that level, he doesn't actually technically have to be a third team All NBA. If he just plays to that level again, which he hasn't since.
Right. The real thing that this hinges on is what ends up happening with Bosch. Mm-hmm. And I obviously have no inside information, but everything that I've read about this or that I've heard about this or that I've talked to people about this, it just doesn't seem like he's going to actually get cleared to play again.
Yeah, the Heat are very skeptical about allowing
which
him.
Sucks because I'm a huge Chris Bosh fan.
Oh,
he's my favorite player in the league. I really want him to be healthy, but I also don't want him to die. I don't want him to play and then die on the court.
And
so
that's literally the problem here. And
if they decide he can't play, I get it.
Right. But, you know, with Wade leaving, it would mean a lot for Heat fans to see Bosh on the court. And that could really help mend a lot. And he's still a really good player. I think we haven't seen him in two straight seasons. We've barely watched him, you know. And he's still one of the best two-way players in the NBA and certainly one of the more versatile, creative, interesting players in the NBA. So if he can't go and he's not healthy, this is a brand-new team from just basically the year before LeBron left when they lost in the finals to the Spurs. I mean, this is essentially a whole new team. I mean, buried in all of this is Udonis Haslem is probably not coming back. I mean, what's really – I mean, maybe he does. Maybe he does. I shouldn't say –
there might not be any more Heat lifers.
I think the Heat need to bring him back personally just for locker room reasons. Like, you can't lose Dwayne Wade, face the uncertainty of Chris Bosh, and not at least have Haslem back. But apparently there are teams willing to go up to – $2.5-3 million a year on Haslem, and I don't know that the Heat are willing to do that. Now, the Heat do have $18-19 million now in cap space that they can use on guys. And
so they're definitely matching the Tyler Johnson offer sheet now, right?
I don't know, because for the same reason that I don't think they wanted to give Wade that third year guaranteed, with that offer that Tyler Johnson has, and I believe that the Heat can kind of offer the same amount but change the offer. I'm not sure. But if they match the offer that the Nets had, that the big money kicks in year three and year four, where he's making $18 and $19 million a year. And that's, again, when Winslow and Josh Richardson become restricted free agents. They can't risk Winslow and Richardson, who seem poised to be better than Tyler Johnson. They can't risk losing them because they've already banked on Tyler Johnson. So I'm not sure that they do match it. I'm not saying they don't, but I'm not sure they do.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many layers to this, and yeah. They just gave Spolster that new contract too. So now he's going to have this. Suddenly he's going to have this young team that's probably not going to win a lot of games next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole thing is just so hard. There's so much stuff to process with this all the angles.
What do you think about Pat Riley now? I mean, he pushed away LeBron, couldn't get into, like, even with Durant. I mean, it seemed like Boston, from all the rumors and reports, was more interesting to Durant than Miami. What is Riley just kind of washed? Should he hang it up? Should he just say, like, look, without Wade, it doesn't seem like the Heat are going to compete for a title anytime soon. Riley is, you know, not a young guy. I mean, this is the twilight of his career. Maybe he was holding out hope that he could get a couple more rings, one more ring, or one more good shot at it. It doesn't seem likely anymore. And I wonder, you know, after pushing LeBron away about being basically snubbed by Durant, even though they got a meeting, and then pushing Wade away, I do wonder if it's maybe getting towards the end for Riley for him to say, like, look, I got nothing else to give. And just turn the franchise over to the Arisons and to Eric Spoelstra.
I mean, it's certainly possible. I think I forget who it was that that I heard say this. It might have been Bomani, but I think, you know, part of this with the whole Riley stuff is that the newer generation of players doesn't really respond to the whole you got to man up, like just kind of, you know, Pat Riley's whole old school mentality, and, you know, him saying that, like, he hoped that LeBron had the guts to come back, you know, rub some people the wrong way. And I think there might be something to that. And I think they, you know, Dwayne Wade, I totally get him feeling taken for granted. But yeah, if you if Riley basically ran the most iconic player in franchise history out of town and doesn't really have a contending team to show for it, I don't know if you can come back from that.
I think, and the fact that he ran him out of town and it was just ugly the way it was, and this is just going to be like this bad taste in the mouths of Heat fans for a while. Like I said, this is not the way it was supposed to end. And Wade had even stated, even past to February of this year, of 2016, that he didn't want to do the whole free agency thing again. He wanted to be a Miami Heat player for the rest of his career. And he said he didn't want to do what he did last year, where he took meetings and he played the market. But he basically felt that he had to. If the Heat would have just came to him and said, look, we're going to sign you. Whatever it is, you're going to get all of the cap room that we have after we get Whiteside a deal and Durant. Maybe they did do this. I don't know that they didn't. Or they just signed him automatically. Here's a 3-year deal for $15 million a year, and they were there at midnight with it, you know, when the free agency started. Maybe he signs it, but they clearly were pushing for Whiteside. And it's not like Whiteside was locked in, right? Like, it looked there for, like, a minute that Whiteside was going
to
sign.
You know what would be the greatest twist to this of all time, though?
Don't do it.
If, you know, Cuban gets his karmic payback for the DeAndre stuff last year, and Whiteside backs out, and then suddenly Harrison Barnes it doesn't get his max deal anymore, and then there can be this whole domino effect where Whiteside is just like, wait, screw this, I want to go to Dallas.
Well, Whiteside did tweet out the Mr. Krabs.
He did.
meme, so it's funny because I was on Snapchat trying to figure, like, just trying to see if Whiteside was going to say anything, or if even Dwayne Wade was going to release a statement on Snapchat.
I got to check DJ Khaled's Snapchat. He probably has opinions about this.
I think he's in the middle of finishing up his next record, so I'm not sure what.
Major Key, the album is out soon.
Yeah, I'm not sure what his schedule is right now. He might be deep in the studio, but last time I think I checked the Snap, he was sipping on some white liquid, which I'm assuming it was not water, and saying he was finishing up a track. So, but
Lux Life or whatever his sponsorship is with the like $3,000 bottles of champagne.
Yeah. So, but Whiteside was he had just beaten somebody in a UFC video game, and nice. Was just like partying in his apartment, and this was like probably 15, 20 minutes after the Wade news broke, and then, like, just a few minutes after that, he beat the game. You could almost see it in real time. He beat the game, checked Twitter in the middle of games, and was like, what? Oh, snap. Like,
I need to add him on Snapchat, then.
Oh, he's fantastic. By the way, if he fans silver lining through all of this, Whiteside, a guy that was making less than $1 million a year, is going to be making $24 million a year. His Snapchat's going to be lit. Like, that thing is going to be the MVP of the season. That's all
I need to. I just realized I need to follow Gabrielle Union on Snapchat now, too.
Yeah, you need to follow her. You also need to follow Dwayne Wade because he snaps a lot of videos of Gabrielle Union, and that's always good to see. I still love Wade. I'm still going to follow him on Snapchat. D Wade, still love you, bro.
Okay, this is another thing I kind of want to ask you about. Like, do you think Heat fans are going to still be nice to him, or is it going to be? Is it going to be the kind of thing, because usually a lot of times when a player leaves a team over, you know, them not offering him enough money, you get, you know, there are fans who are going to be like, oh, well, he was just greedy and these guys all make millions of dollars. He could have just taken a little bit less to come back. I feel like with the Heat, I think, at least from my understanding, like all the Heat fans I follow on Twitter, it seems like they all get it.
They get it. And I think the way that it's framed, and this might have been masterfully done by Wade, who, by the way, I also don't think that this was real until like the last couple days. Like, where all of us were like, oh, he's just posturing. He was probably like, I'm going to take meetings because I'm just posturing. Like, I really feel like that's what...
No, I think, too. I think if it had been at all palatable, I think he would have wanted to come back to Miami.
But, like they said, like, the relationship was just broken. He even had a meeting with Mickey Arison this morning. And what was interesting was that, like, he just didn't have the guys to come back to. Like, Chris Bosh is injured. Udonis Haslem is a free agent unto his own. LeBron James is obviously no longer there. I mean, who is he coming back with? Like, Chalmers is gone. Mike Miller was gone for a long time, but all of his dudes, Chris Anderson, Birdman, he's gone. Like, all of his dudes are gone. So it's almost like he's coming back to, what, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, they have a good relationship, but he's a coach. Like, he's not a player. It's different. Anyway, yeah, I think that Heat fans were already faltering on the faith of Pat Riley in the first place.
After the LeBron stuff a couple years ago.
It was after the LeBron stuff. The Dragic trade that we talked about earlier was very polarizing. So a lot of fans are on either side of the fence on that, if it was a good or a bad deal. And the way everything was framed, that it wasn't about the money, that it was all about respect, and that the Heat were chasing Durant, and they gave all the money to Whiteside, and even last year, a couple years ago, gave all the money to Chris Bosh. Gave Chris Bosh the max. Wade was also a free agent. They didn't give Wade the max, right? They didn't give Wade the long-term deal, but they locked up Bosh. I think that's when it started. I don't think Heat fans are going to view... There's not going to be jersey burning. There's not going to be... It's different, right? It's a little
right.
different.
It's just... It's sort of like maybe... It's sort of more like how... You know, obviously the Mavericks just gave Dirk a pretty big contract to come back.
Yeah.
But if
Dirk
had left...
go home. I mean, unless
Dirk
he wants to go play in Germany.
He wants to go play in Germany. But, like, if Dirk had left to go to another team after giving all this money back over the years for not building a contender, I feel like Mavs fans would have gotten it, and they would have just said, I want Dirk to be happy his final years in the league.
I mean, Heat fans, they get a really bad rap.
They
know?
Do. I think, I mean, all the Heat fans, and I mean, I think it's just kind of a function, all this, you know, all the memes about, you know, all the empty seats at the playoff games. I think it's just because, you know, Miami's a really expensive city to live in, and those good seats, the ones that get shown on TV, are really expensive. So rich people who just want to be seen at the games buy those tickets, and so the real fans can either only afford the 300 level seats, or they yeah. can not afford to go
well,
to the games.
No, it's the whole late arriving crowd thing. That's a real thing.
But there's stuff to do in Miami.
It's not even that, and I don't like. It's just the culture in South Florida, dude. Like, it's just like it's not New York where it's hustle and bustle and get to this place at that time. It's South Florida. Miami is only a couple hours away from the Keys, where people are just like stoned and opening up tiki bars all the time. Like, it's just a little bit of a different culture. And yeah, there's other things to do. By the way, if you haven't driven to American Airlines Arena, it's kind of hard to get to. It's kind of a hassle. It takes a long time to get off the highway and get into the parking lot and then get into it. And it's right across the street from a large shopping mall, for lack of a better term. It's basically like, it's really hard to get to anyway. Not to offer too many excuses, but the Heat have historically sold out games, like, all the time. Before LeBron was even in Miami, but even after LeBron was in Miami, when they got a lot more attention, yes, they're late arriving. That's just the culture of Miami. I mean, you go to... I was watching Thunder games, you know, Thunder Warriors, and the OKC fans like have, like, probably the best reputation, maybe other than the Warriors fans themselves, in the NBA. Those seats were cleared out, you know, with 4 minutes to go in some of those games. So... I don't like that the Heat fans get a bad rap. I'm not even sure where I was going with this, to be honest. But
it's because I was asking you if they were going to be mad at him.
I think they get it. Even though that they get a bad rap, I think the Heat fans are some of the smarter fans in the NBA. And I only say that because smart fans tend to be the fans that see good basketball. Like, Warriors fans are very good. Like, smart fans, for lack of a better word. And Knicks fans tend, and Bulls fans because of the history, Boston fans because of the history. I do think that the Heat fans are right up there. I mean, for God's sakes, they chanted Joel Anthony's MVP chance at the free throw line in the 2010 finals. Like, that's not a dumb fan base. They understand that he does the little things, right? Like, he's a fan favorite. So, all in all, I think Heat fans are smart. They understand the dynamics, like the business stuff. And how could you not, as a Heat fan, by the way, understand the business? I mean, after you go through 3-4 years of LeBron James, you start to understand the business of basketball. So I think they get it.
Yeah, and I mean, and I just, what just kind of sucks for Heat fans is that, you know, you're not going to see Dwayne Wade at least go to a situation where he can get a ring. The Bulls are like a 43-win team still, in my opinion.
That's the weird thing, right? It's not like he's ring chasing. He's going home chasing, which I don't think is a big factor in this. I really don't. I think it was always believed, right, if Wade was ever going to leave the Heat, it was going to be for Chicago. But it's not like he had this itch to go back to Chicago either. I think it was a lack of respect shown to him, a felt respect shown to him by the Heat organization. So it's just kind of, you're right. Like, it's just like a respect chasing. It's not money. It's not money because it's only about $7 million more a year than the Heat could have offered. Not a year. $7 million over the course of 2 years.
Well, I'm happy for him because, again, his kids live there, so he gets to be closer to his kids. So I got, from that sense. Yeah,
but he's a basketball player. Like, he's going to be away from them all season anyway. And he's with them all summer anyway. They travel with them. So I don't know. It's a weird chase, right? It's not ring chasing. It's not money grabbing. It's respect chasing. It's just a place that he wants to, that he feels wanted, and that's not a bad thing.
And at this point in his career, he doesn't really have anything to prove. He's won 3 titles. He's won a Finals MVP. He's made all the money he's ever going to need to make in his career. Obviously, I think the money at this point to him, he doesn't need the money. It's just about respect to him. So for him, I mean, he just doesn't want to go out with, you know, being an afterthought with the Heat. He'd rather, you know,
be the man,
try this thing in Chicago somewhere else.
And, like, let's face it, I mean, even if you stayed with the Heat, Miami wasn't going to win a championship
before he retired.
Not with Cleveland, the way they transformed in the finals, and then Durant going to the Warriors. And, like, there's nobody else but the Warriors are going to win a ring for the next 4 years, so.
And with Bosch not being there either.
Right. That probably, that's
like, they're at least competitive if they have Bosch, but if he's not there, they're really not.
Yeah, if he's not there, you got to hope that there's the addition by subtraction for Dragic. Whiteside starts to keep growing to that ceiling. Winslow and Richardson obviously have to get better. I mean, this isn't going to be the year. They're not going to win more than 45 games probably this next season. But there's an opportunity to grow now, right? And that's what we were talking about. Like, this might be better for the future of Miami Heat basketball. Like, there's an opportunity to start building and growing and look towards the future.
Right. You're not going to have, like, the Kobe contract where it's such an albatross that, you know, that he's around and he still feels like he has to be respected, and it hinders the development of the young guys, and it hinders their ability to go out and get free agents. Because, I mean, even with all the L's that Pat Riley has taken in the last few years, Miami is still one of the most appealing cities for NBA players to live in. I think eventually they'll get free agents again.
And now they have the room to do it. So yeah. We've talked about a lot about Miami. Is there any other things that you want to talk about in regards to the Bulls, about how all this kind of shakes out? I mean, what Rondo is starting at point guard, it's Wade at shooting guard, and Jimmy Butler, I guess, plays the three?
Yeah, none of those guys can shoot.
Yeah, and then how's that lineup shake out? What do they look like?
I don't know. I mean, I think you almost have to, if they keep Taj Gibson on the roster, because at this point their starting power forward would probably be Taj Gibson. So if he probably has to start just based on seniority. But do you put Mirotić there? And just for defensive, I mean, not defensive, but for shooting reasons, like, because nobody else can shoot in that lineup. It's, you know, if Robin Lopez is your starting center, like, literally nobody can shoot in that lineup. If Taj Gibson is in there too, like, you have to put either Mirotić in there or you put McDermott at the four. This is going to be awkward. Like, I think,
does it make sense to bench Rondo now and maybe start Dwayne Wade at point guard?
I mean, I can see how that goes over with Rondo,
Rondo at the trade deadline.
Especially because Rondo is, you know, Rondo's deal, I haven't gotten total clarity on what the second year of the deal is, but it sounds like it's some kind of mutual opt-out. So it's essentially a one-year deal. And so Rondo is basically still in the mode that he was in last year, where he was trying to still prove that he's worth a long-term deal. So I don't think he would take too kindly to being benched. And Rondo, like, if he's not on the same page as his coach, you know, we've seen that happen with – we saw it happen with Carlisle in Dallas. We saw it happen with George Karl in Sacramento. Just, like – this just has potential for a disaster. But, like, I'll say this. I'm not a Bulls fan. I didn't grow up here. I'm not a fan of the team. I have no investment emotionally in them being good. I just want the team that I cover on a daily basis to be interesting. And they certainly are interesting.
They will be interesting.
They're more interesting now than they were 24 hours ago.
And the team that you're going to be watching every game of, you know, essentially... I do envy you. Dwayne Wade, it's still fun to watch Dwayne Wade because he has those flashes. And even when he's not, those flashes of old Dwayne Wade, those come. But even when he's not flashing Dwayne Wade, I've always hated the term vintage Dwayne Wade, vintage Wade. I hate that.
I got that all the time with, like, every time Derrick Rose has a good game. Oh, this is vintage D. Rose. He's back.
Right.
Oh, MVP form. Even though it's like, okay, chill out. He had one game where he scored 20 points.
With Wade, it was like, he evolved his game. He wasn't the slow it down post player that he... He hasn't been that his entire career.
I'm shocked that he has been able to stay this productive for this long without ever learning how to shoot threes.
It really is amazing, right? And he learned how to shoot threes again, I guess, in the playoffs. And he did tweet out this offseason, by the way, just so you know, if you haven't seen it, that he does plan to shoot more threes. Now, I don't know if that's...
Well, you know what? I, like three years ago when I was... when I was still at USA Today, I did an interview with him for some promotional thing he was doing for some company he was promoting, and I asked him a little bit about what – this was the year after they won the 2013 title, this that summer. And so I asked him what he's going to do this summer, and he said he was going to work on shooting threes, and that was three summers ago.
Yeah.
So it's one of those kinds of things where, like, every summer a guy, you know, comes in and is like, I'm in the best shape of my life. I added 15 pounds of muscle. I feel like the Dwayne Wade equivalent of that is – hey, Dwayne Wade is a 3-point shot now.
I'll believe when I see it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know what I kind of was thinking about was, I don't know if there's been a situation where an all-star, he was an all-star, you know, leaves a team, and the fans that he left, like the fans of the team he left, are so despondent and just like, this is awful. And then the team that he's going to are so despondent and awful. Like, they're just like, why would we do this? Like, it's
because
so
it doesn't
weird.
Make the Bulls better. Because this is such a Bulls front office thing to do. It's just, you're bringing in a big name just for the sake of saying. I mean, they did the exact same thing in 2014 after they went after Carmelo Anthony and they didn't get him. And I mean, there were people here who were debating whether going after Carmelo was a good idea. And I was always of the opinion that he would have been a good fit here and that would have been a good thing to do. But then after they didn't get Carmelo, they basically brought in Pau Gasol, who was 34 years old and doesn't really fit with Joakim Noah and doesn't really fit with the rest of the roster, basically just to be able to say, hey, look, we got a name. We got a guy that, like, casual fans have heard of that's going to sell some tickets. And I feel like, you know, bringing in Rondo and Wade at this point in their careers is just kind of more of the same of that. And a lot of the Bulls fans, I mean, we've talked about how smart Heat fans are. Bulls fans are really smart, too. You can't pass stuff off like this on them without them kind of knowing what's up. And, you know, especially coming, you know, a couple weeks after they traded away Derrick Rose, who was the hometown kid and the MVP and the guy that people have invested so much into, to say, hey, look, we got Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo in 2016. Get excited.
You know what? I just thought about this. The Bulls will be the only NBA franchise to have two of the top three shooting guards of all time play for their team.
So, Dwayne Wade and Michael Jordan. Crying meme guy?
What?
The crying meme guy?
The crying meme guy, yeah. He used to be pretty good. I put him at three. Dwayne Wade obviously is number one.
I only really know him from the Wizards. I didn't know he even played for the Bulls.
He did play for the Bulls for a couple of years.
Good to know. Hey, that's interesting. That's sort of like Hakeem with the Raptors or Karl Malone with the Lakers. The idea that Michael Jordan with the Bulls, like, that's just weird to me.
Right. Exactly. Like Dwayne Wade with the Bulls. It's strange.
There you go, Dwayne Wade with the
All right. This has been good. This has been a crossover Locked On Bulls / Locked On Heat podcast. Sean Hyken with me. I'm Wes Goldberg. And thanks, guys, for listening. And I'm going to go back to my corner in the fetal position.
It was good to be with you, buddy.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.